Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm at what just might be the best show in Vegas. But it's not Mandalay Bay, the Bellagio, or Caesar's Palace. No, this show is at the one and only Graceland Wedding Chapel. A couple's come all the way from Scotland to renew their vows. Lindsay surprised her husband, Stephen. It's also his birthday, and the whole thing, it's just absolutely adorable.
I love you tender.
To always love you tender.
I will never have. A suspicious mind.
But presiding over the ceremony is a 6'4" man with a jet black pompadour, sideburns, and that trademark sequin jumpsuit. That man is Elvis Presley, the king. Okay, well, it's technically Brendan Paul.
Graceland Chapel owner, king of rock and roll, master of ceremonies, town drunk, all those things rolled into one. Coming at you, baby, in 3D.
Brendan is an Elvis impersonator and ordained wedding official. Before the ceremony, I caught up with Brendan in his office. I learned how this one-time punk became Sin City's premier Elvis impersonator, and why Brendan just can't help falling in love with the king. So cue the fountains, the dice are hot, shoot a 7 with every shot. Because it's Vegas, baby. I'm Sam Balter. And this is Weird Work. Okay, let's start with, what does today look like for you in terms of how many people are getting married?
Today's Sunday, so it's a slower day for us. So today I think I'm only singing at 7 weddings or something like that.
So 7 weddings is a slow day.
It's a slow day.
What's a busy day for you?
The other day, 27 or something like that.
So you do 27.
In a day. Right?
In a day. Yeah. In a day. Okay. So, so Graceland Chapel, how many weddings are going on here in a given, let's say, like week?
Let's see. I'll sing at about 5,000 a year, 4,500 to 5,000 a year. So 100 a week?
100 a week? 200 a week?
Yeah. Well, I lose count sometimes. I really do. Like, I will come home and just be, I'm just plugging along. I come in the back and go, what's the next one? What's the next one? And then I literally come home and I count when I wrote down. I go, oh, no wonder I'm exhausted. 29 weddings. 25 years ago when I was doing that was a little easier years ago.
Okay, so what's like the breakdown between like weddings, vow renewals, and commitment ceremonies?
It used to be weddings because this is the wedding capital of the world, but people applying for a marriage license, that is down. So that's where we step up and do a thing that appeals to more people. If you have a million people coming in for the weekend, how many people are looking to get married? A few, but how many people are already here married or just dating, like for a committal? Honey, I want to marry you, but you know, we got to wait till next year when the families can get together. So they go, we're in Vegas, let's just do a fun thing. That's where the committal will come in. And I'm ordained, so a lot of people want to get married by the king. And I step up there too. As long as the check clears, I step up, man.
Okay, so, okay, speaking of like Elvis wedding versus traditional wedding, like what's kind of the breakdown there?
About 70% is Elvis.
70% is Elvis.
At least, yeah, one Elvis. I mean, we are the Graceland Wedding Chapel. Some people come in and they'll see me in the lobby and they'll turn in the corner and go, oh, what's that guy doing here? I'm in a jumpsuit. I say, I'm here to fuck you up. No, I'm kidding. I go. Oh, I'm leaving. I say, I feel bad. I go, I'm leaving. I'm just, they go, okay, because we didn't order that guy. They freak out. If they want a traditional, their in-laws come in and go, what's with the guy in a polyester jumpsuit? You know, it's a little frightening sometimes and off-putting. So I get out. I say, I'm leaving. I make a joke. Don't worry.
So, okay, walk me through like the Elvis packages. I was on the website. I saw it. There's the basic Elvis, and then you guys move all the way up to like double Elvis.
Right. Most people just want Elvis to do something. One Elvis.
One Elvis.
But for those people that can't get enough, they want more King. We say, how about the Elvis, the dueling Elvis package, which is like 50s Gold LeMay Elvis and jumpsuit 70s Elvis. We used to have the Elvis package, which was like $1,000, and people wanted that. We had a guy named Ralphie May. He was a comedian. He just passed away a couple of years ago. He came to the shop and he ordered the Elvis package. I thought it would be funnier if the Elvis is actually like dueling, as in like doing karate on each other and actually like yelling at each other. I thought it'd be more fun.
Kind of like a WWE style.
Yeah, grab the mic. Shut up. Let me show how it's done. Back and forth, like an actual dueling, And sometimes we do, like when we have one Elvis, we kind of have a similar sense of humor. So he's talking, I'll turn to him and somebody say, shut up, man. Cut him off. And people laugh because it's weird. I mean, come on. But there's rules here. There's a limit. I mean, you have Elvis doing Elvis package, but that's wrong. You know, so one of them said one time afterwards, I think our Elvises were both high. And we weren't. We're just being, we're goofy. I mean, this is what we do for a living. You know what I mean? It's a fucking job. Who would have thunk that, you know?
So, okay, so what are the Elvises? Walk me through what you see as the different major phases of Elvis.
He kind of started as they call him like the hillbilly cat. He was kind of white trash growing up in Memphis, and he was influenced huge by like pimps and the blues guys on Beale Street. So when he was young, people said he dressed like a black guy. And this is in the early 50s, late 40s. He's wearing pink pants with a black stripe down the side. And that was his influence before rockabilly was even a term. He was a blend of blues and gospel. He did a cover song called That's Right Mama, an old blues song, but he's picked up the pace and they put it out locally in Memphis. It took off.
Okay.
It made him famous, known now as the Sun Sessions at Sun Studio in Memphis. RCA came in and said, who is this kid? Of course, like record companies do, they think, oh yeah, you're great, kid, whatever.
Yeah.
They don't care if it's a flash in the pan, whatever, we'll make money. They signed him to RCA. He then had a second career right there in the 50s where he jumped from rockabilly doing blues covers to songwriters giving him songs. Heartbreak Hotel was given to him by songwriters. Now he's in part of the machine, if you will. They gave him this gold lamé suit they had made, and he said it was the most uncomfortable suit he ever wore, but it was like given to, they told him. Now he's like Justin Bieber of the day, probably.
Yeah.
Where the companies come in and go, we have money invested in you. This is what you're going to record. This is your image. We're going to do publicity shots. You're going to go on a date with Natalie Wood. We're going to follow you and get you in magazines. That's a brief period in his career. 2 years, he gets drafted to go in the Army. John Lennon said Elvis was dead when he came out of the Army, literally meaning he never was as good as those years. You have this whole career in the 60s, no live performances when he came out of the Army. And then he got into movies, and the movies sucked. But Elvis would read the scripts and say, this is shit. But he got paid well.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting $1 million a picture. And he was cranking out 3 a year. In the late 50s, that's a lot of money. Plus royalties from the record. So 3 movies a year, no live shows. It was over, really,
his
career. Then he comes back in 1968. He does a TV special, and he wears a black leather suit. And it literally makes people realize, oh, my God, this guy was great. He's kind of irrelevant to the kids in America. He doesn't mean shit to hippies. The Doors in the late 60s, that music comes out. Elvis is irrelevant. But the 68 comeback puts him back in front of people and they go, oh my God. And then by 1969, he decides to do Vegas. They say, what do you want to wear on stage? You used to wear sport coats with the collar turned up. He goes, no, I need something based like on a karate gi, because he was into karate, because he was high. He got a black belt in 2 days, which is amazing. No one else can do that, but Elvis was the king. We broke a board. They go, you're a black belt. It was weird, you know? I mean, I met karate guys. I go, was he good at karate? They go, But he had a passion for it. So his tailor comes up with this one-piece jumpsuit, and the rest is Vegas history, because, you know, they got gaudier and bigger and flashier as the years went. And that was the rest of his career in those jumpsuits. And then he dies at the height, 1977. If Elvis would have lived to 1981, he would have been back in a tuxedo. So every Elvis impersonator is cursed to have to be in this 1977. Had he lived
one.
A few more years, he would have changed.
Now let's get into you getting ready. It's game day. It's wedding day. You're about to start performing. How do you get ready?
I meditate on the memory of Elvis. I'm kidding. Don't do shit. I get up, I blow dry my hair, and I say, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going back to work again. Because sometimes I'll leave at midnight and the next one's 10 a.m. I'm like, oh, all I do is go home and sleep.
So you don't have the time to get
some people do. One Elvis, I call him sometimes, I say, hey, could you come in? He goes, when's the wedding? I said, in an hour, but there's no one at the chapel. I need more time, man, to get ready. I said, what? Like, I could do my hair in about 8 minutes now. You know what I mean? Like, this is a business. We have no time to, like, get in the, you know, some guys have to, like, seriously, I think, more psych themselves up, whatever, the channel Elvis. I don't know. That's good for now, you know? But I say, just can't get your ass to the chapel and sing.
Okay, there's a bunch of Elvis impersonators.
Correct.
When you see an Elvis impersonator on the street, what makes you go, like, amateur? You know, like, that person is not doing a good job of it. You know what I mean? Like, is it like he can't even shake his hips or like...
Yeah, there's guys that look pretty sorry or they have like a big bad wig, you know, and that's the hair is a big part of it. I think if you can master that, or Elvis wasn't 5'2". So when you see a guy 5'2", it looks a little, you know, 5'2" this way, 5'2" this way. But, you know, I just go, but I like that. I've always liked that. I have a sense of humor about Elvis. Like, it's, I don't have this reverence for him like other guys do.
Yeah.
Women, some women come up after the wedding and go, I have one question. Do you do Elvis because of the money or because your love of the man? And I know what the answer right then has to be. For the love of the man, because if you say for the money to these some of these Elvis fans, you know, and it's not the love. I mean, I love everything. I just like entertaining people. That's the core of it.
Yeah.
But people are like, want to know, you know, and they'll show me their Elvis tattoo and tell me how they cried and where they were in 1977. And, you know, so it's a fine line with in the Elvis world with the fans. But we're respectful. You know, we're not doing the big fat Elvis at the chapel. But there's a call for that too. Some people call, can we get Chinese Elvis? I say, let me look him up. I'll try. If that's what you want, we'll try to find a guy. You know, we have a tiny Elvis. He climbs through my legs. We've done gigs together. He's climbing, going through, because I'm 6'4".
You are a giant. You're straight up a giant person.
And he walks through my legs. I'm just like, then I'm making comments while you're down there, stuff like this. And the bride's going, what's going on? You know, the party's started now.
What is your favorite part of wearing the Elvis costume?
When I first bought it, I remember the first time my tailor handed it to me, and they're not cheap. First one I bought was, you know, 25 years ago was $2,000 or something like that. I have ones now that are $5,000 a suit. So the first time you put on, you just kind of like, it's cool. Like, because you see pictures of Elvis, it's like a superhero with the high collar and the belt, and it's so bejeweled. I never dressed like that in real life. I used to play in a punk band, you know? So to have like this thing, I'm going, okay, but you just want to start doing karate and like, you know, do all these. And
is it just like you put it on and you're just like, yes, I swear to God.
I kept looking in the mirror and I'm doing all this stuff. And my dad, I even said to my dad, you got to put this on. And my dad started doing all these crazy things. I'm like, but it's cool. You know what I mean? It's neat. I mean, I've had people come and say, can I buy your costume off you right now? And I said, no, it's custom made. I said, I paid like $4,000 for the suit. And the guy's like, I'll give you $5,000 cash right now. I said, wow. He says, this suit stinks. You get your own.
Okay, what's your least favorite part of wearing the Elvis suit?
It's a onesie, basically. The jumpsuit's a onesie. It's like a, you know, with a belt. Because some people go, can I try on your jacket? Because the belt separates it, but it really zips up. It's like, to get into it, it's awkward. I always try to picture Elvis. He's so cool. But like, guys have to help you. You're like jumping around trying to get it in. And it's, you know, and then the bell bottoms are too long until you put the boots on. So it's getting dressed. When I see other Elvises get dressed, because we've done gigs together, it looks like, you know, we come out and all the women, woo! But I'm like, you gotta see us in the backstage trying to get dressed. It's ridiculous. But once you're in it, people love it. You know, people just touch me when I come by. They'll just like stroke my shoulder. I know they just want to touch a jumpsuiter. Like, it's, you know, neat,
yeah.
You know.
they just want to feel
the first touch is free. I tell them after that we start charging.
More for Brendan after this quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Stephen.
And Lindsay. Renew and I vow, Stephen's 40 today, so it was a surprise for him. I just researched it on the internet, got good reviews, loved the pictures and the Facebook page, so went with that.
I've always been a bit of an Elvis fan. When I said I'm coming to Vegas, I'd love to see a cheesy Elvis. Didn't think it would be renewing my vows.
Thought taking that step further than just a show. No, I'm delighted. It's been more than what I thought it would. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I'm glad they got on a show rather than just kind of passive,
personal.
You know. Yeah.
It was nice and personal, yeah, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so where'd you grow up?
I was born in San Francisco, and then we moved back to Connecticut, where my dad was from as a kid, and then we moved to California when I was like 8 years old. So basically all the best years there.
What's your first memory of hearing or listening to Elvis?
A friend of mine reminded me, he goes, remember we used to make fun of Elvis in high school? Because in the 80s, we were in a punk band, and so the Vegas Elvis, the fat, drugged out Elvis, was like a joke kind of to us. He wasn't really relative to what we were into.
What was the name of your punk band?
Iconoclast. We used to play with GBH and all these British bands that would come over from England, Discharge and Peter and Test Tube Babies. It was great. It's funny because sometimes these kids come in with mohawks, and then I show them the video, and everyone saw a kid goes, oh my God, I know who your band was. Because we were on a compilation record with the Dead Kennedys. We did a lot of cool stuff, you know. So I have this split life, right, of like that and then Elvis.
And when did you start doing impersonations?
I was dyeing my hair black since I was in a punk band. And then I grew my hair long. I played in a kind of a trashy Hollywood band. Later, we played with Guns N' Roses when they were in the clubs. We'd play with them and Whiskey a Go-Go, and they were just starting out.
Yeah.
And then we were even in the Welcome to the Jungle video. They called us and said, hey, we're filming our first music video. So we just went down to help them as a fellow club band, you know.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, and then Johnny Depp played it. We played in a band, and his band played. This was like 1987. And we played around Hollywood, Raji's, all these dives in Hollywood. And then Johnny Depp came up. We did a gig in Ojai, California. And Johnny says to me, because he was a pretty boy, because he was an actor already.
Yeah.
And he had made one movie, Nightmare on Elm Street. So to us, he was already famous because it was a cult movie.
Yeah.
His first movie. But so he came up, he goes, I got to quit the band. I'm going to Canada to do a pilot. And we said, really? He's like, I'll probably be back in 6 months. And that show was 21 Jump Street and launched his career. We never saw him again ever. You know? He never came back because he's like, I'll probably be back. We said, okay. And then next thing you know, he's on the cover of Tiger Beat. And we're going, damn, that guy really made it. You know what I mean? But I was in that, playing in the club circuit in LA. And then I had like long, shaggy hair, whatever, a mess. And when I cut it short, I swear to God, my old girlfriend was a hairdresser. She cut my hair. I said, just cut it short. And I had little sideburns. And on the way home in Hollywood, I was driving and someone honks, they go, Elvis. So I'm just like, you know, what, where? Like I'm looking, dude, and I roll in the window and go, thank you very much or something. I'm like, so I called her. I remember I said, you know what? We have to do something. Either I got to not dye my hair so black or do something because
You were accidentally looking like Elvis.
And so I said, and then at UCLA, I was going to UCLA to get a degree in fine art. A girl goes, hey, you do Elvis, right? I said, well, no, but, and then she goes, I'll give you $100 if you sing happy birthday to my girl in my dorm tomorrow. I said, yeah, I do Elvis. $100 because I was a musician. So I had a guitar. So I just turned the collar up on a sport coat. Just, you know what I mean,
like,
to the dorm, sang happy birthday. She gave me a $100 bill. And then I'm leaving the dorm and a girl goes, hey, my dad's a producer in Hollywood. Do you have a card? And I said, I literally said, oh, I'm all out. I didn't even have cards.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
was like, art major. I didn't have shit. So, but she goes, here's my number. And then like 2 weeks later, they hired me to sing at a party in Hollywood and paid me $600 to sing two songs. I remember going like, this is pretty cool.
And you're an art student at this point, so you're broke.
With no job.
Right? Yeah, so you have no money. Yeah. Okay, so yeah.
It was great. So I remember thinking like, oh my God. And then from there at the party, they go, there's a show, Grace Under Fire. We're having a rap party with Brett Butler, whatever the actress was. I said, okay. At a bowling alley in Woodland Hills, I said, when I'll be there, they paid me. It just kept kind of going. And I just remember thinking, geez. So I told my parents, you know what? Maybe I won't shave off the sideburns. Maybe I'll try to buy some karaoke tapes and learn the songs. Because I could already sing.
Could you dance?
Guitar. Yeah, I could dance around because I was already, not as good as Elvis. I could dance. I could shake my ass good enough to get paid. So that's kind of how it went. You know what I mean? And it just, I fell into it in a way. But you start doing it like, someone goes, oh, when did you know you want to do Elvis? I said, to be honest, the first time I got paid, if I look like Sammy Davis Jr., hey, man, I'd be doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go with what you know, something falls in your lap, you got to go with it.
You have you ever branched down into other impressions?
No. I love guys that
do.
My friend does Elvis, and he was getting older, he's in his 60s, and he started doing impressions. But he's in a jumpsuit doing Columbo and all these things. He's like, you got to come see the act. I said, that's an act? Okay. I'll be there to support you, but what the fuck are you doing? You know, bless his heart. But he was panicking. He's like, I'm getting old. I don't know what to do. So I can do impressions, but I'm going to do them in the jumpsuit. I said, okay. Me and the other person at the show, we both clapped. That was it. It was a good time.
If you could look close enough to somebody else to do impressions of them, who would you be?
Kiss. I'd be in a Kiss tribute. I grew up in the 70s. Kiss was my favorite band. So, like, I would do that. That'd be fine with me.
Okay, so you're doing impersonations for a while. You're going from kind of gig to gig.
Yeah.
How do you end up here at Graceland Chapel?
Well, after I graduated, I was laying by my parents' pool. I moved back in after I graduated college, and they're like, you can't just lay around. I said, Mom, I graduated college. She's like, son, you were in school 11 years. I started college at 17. I graduated at 28. I went to University of Hawaii twice, UCLA, UC San Diego. I was in no hurry. I was an art major. What am I in a hurry to go out and be broke? You know what I mean? So, and then when my parents go, I thought you were going to do the Elvis thing. I said, I guess. They go, my mom goes, why don't you just go to Vegas and see what happens? So I literally drove to Las Vegas in the summer of 95 I had a guitar, a microwave oven, and a karaoke machine. That was all I had. And a beat up 65 Lincoln Continental with no AC. So I roll into town. I stay at Circus. I literally don't know one person in town. I start calling back then entertainment agencies. Hello, I said, hello, my name is Brendan Paul. I just moved to Las Vegas. I do Elvis. Oh, we have enough Elvises. Thanks, click. I'd be like, literally like, oh shit, there's only 12 agencies in the phone book. The next day, the same, hey, I called you yesterday. Look, if you want, bring a photo by, but we have Elvises. So I'm going, I'm getting nothing. I'm broke. I'm thinking I'm just going to call and say, we have a job tomorrow. I'll be like, hey.
Oh, you thought it was going to be just quick. Like easy money
and
again.
Nothing. So I don't know what to do. So I end up standing on the street with a guitar. So I'm singing. It's hot. It's the summer of 95. I don't even have a jumpsuit. I just turn the collar up in my sport coat. People are throwing change. I'm looking, going, okay, I got $1.85. I've been here an hour. I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. But people keep coming up, going, can I get a photo with you? And I realize they didn't even care about me singing. So I go, they go, how much is a photo? I said, $1. And they had cameras. I didn't have a camera. It was just me. So they'd hand me $1 and then I'd take a picture and they'd walk away. Hey, can I get a picture? I go, yeah, it's $1. Well, I would do that at least 100 times a day so I could make $100 a day, 7 days a week. And then I'd barely sing because people were lined up for photos, you know.
Huh.
And so then I could live on $700 a week cash, you know what I mean?
Was that kind of a bummer for you as a musician? You're like, you know, you master, you get really good at all these Elvis songs, right? And then people are like,
just
can
I get a photo? Yeah, this one, a photo. But I realized, I thought I was gonna do this, but you want a photo? Okay, let's do it. So I would do photos, and I did that for like 3 months, and then meanwhile trying to get hired from a job. And forget singing, why blow my voice out singing 3 hours on a bridge? I gotta stand there and take pictures and make enough to get by for till the next thing comes.
Yeah,
you gotta hustle, you know.
So okay, so now you're established within the Vegas Elvis community. What brings you to Graceland?
Graceland Wedding Chapel, driving by, same year, 95 when I moved here, driving by, pop in a chapel because it says John Bon Jovi outside, and there's all these chapels and I see them.
Yeah.
And then every Elvis eventually gets called, because a lot of these chapels do one Elvis wedding a week. They just get hey, we're getting married at your chapel. Do you have an Elvis? They all call different guys. So, and I've over the years, I've done pretty much every chapel in this town, a wedding here, there, a wedding here and there. But Graceland, when I went in, because of the name Graceland, they had a guy, Norm Jones, who had been there for years, older Elvis, super nice guy, really sincere, heavier fella, but he had a following. And they said he worked 7 days a week. Do you want to work like 2 days a week, like Thursdays and Sundays just to fill in? I said, sure. So I worked there. And back then, you know, I do like 5 weddings on Thursday, 5 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a much slower pace. And then when the owner one time in 2003 said, I'm thinking of selling my chapel. They were an older couple from Duluth, Minnesota. And he goes, would you be interested? He goes, you're the only guy, because he knew I was traveling doing shows and saving my money. He goes, you're the only guy I know with money that saves your money. Because most entertainers are broke. Even the famous ones are like, when Sammy Davis Jr. died, he owed the IRS like $5 million. They had to sell his entire estate when he died to pay back the IRS. Just because you're on stage doesn't mean if you're not good with money, you're broke. People don't assume that, you know.
Yeah, so you were busy, you're stacking
money. And he knew that. He goes, I'm going to sell the chapel if you want it. It's $1 million, but you get... And I thought, well, maybe this could be something down the line when I retire to have passive income. What a great thing to have a business that makes money or makes money every day, even though I'm not there. Because right now I'm on the bridge. I make $100. I sleep in. I make nothing.
Was this like a crazy idea for you as somebody who's like an art major? You know what I mean? Like now all of a sudden people are like offering you like a business.
Absolutely. I ran into Henry Rollins, a singer of Black Flag. We used to know each other in LA. And I told him one time, when I first started doing this, I go, I live in Vegas now. Because he's like, what? I go, I'm doing Elvis. And I said, but I'm making good money. He said, what are you making? I forget, but I said, $200,000-$300,000 a year. He's like, you know what? Fucking do Elvis. You know what I mean? Because he's, and the Circle Jerks, all these bands we play with, he goes, we're playing in punk bands. He goes, we're making, you know, $200 a night and splitting it 4 ways. You know what I mean? So he's like, I would do Elvis too if I were you. Because I was kind of like apologizing to him, saying I'm kind of.
Oh, because like this you is knew kind each of other cheesy. From like
yeah,
punk
I'm
day.
Like, yeah. Oh, look what I do now. I'm an Elvis impersonator. But he's like, that's cool. Go for it. And I was like, yeah, I guess. And it turned out to be awesome, you know?
What to you makes somebody an icon?
I think the hit for Elvis, it's a combination. Like Whitney Houston's been dead and it goes down. Like other people die, Frank Sinatra, once they're gone, you see record sales diminish slowly and just you're out of sight, out of mind. Elvis has been marketed from like he's still there. I mean, there's shows where his original band still plays and they bring down a screen and Elvis is on stage. On a screen, it's almost like a hologram. It will be pretty soon. And you're paying to see a guy that hasn't been there in 40 years. But the thing with Elvis, I think, at the end of the day, is he was such a nice guy. The humility, that lives on. People see him. People come up to me. A guy goes, is there any way you could get a picture of my daughter? She's a huge Elvis fan. I said, how old's your daughter? He goes, 14. I said, your daughter's a huge Elvis fan at 14. Not Justin Bieber or whatever. He goes, no, she just saw an Elvis movie a couple years ago and fell in love with him. And just her whole bedroom's Elvis. I said, that's amazing. There's a guy that's dead. You never got to see him in your lifetime. But he's getting new fans.
Who do you think now could be the next Elvis? You know what I mean? Do you think that there's a person now who could be that level of icon fame?
I do shows with impersonators now, and I'm doing with Lady Gaga sometimes. I'll perform with a Lady Gaga impersonator. But she has a very...
Distinct look.
They're doing the Lady Gaga when she started. Real outlandish. You know, that's the look for Lady Gaga. So you have to bring it down to like... a look that people go, oh yeah, you know.
So there's got to be a look. There's got to be like music and songs.
The music.
That's what I said, connect.
Lady, some of these acts, I go, how many songs do you do? They go, 3, because there's only three big hits. Elvis, you have a huge catalog of 30 number ones to pick from. But some of these people, I go, that's your act, you know, the Righteous Brothers. I go, how many hits are you? They go, we do 4 songs. I said, okay, that's all people know, you know.
Yeah, okay, Vegas. The city has changed a lot. Things have been built, demolished, rebuilt, changed over and over again. This chapel has remained for like over 70 years.
Correct.
Why do you think that is?
People come here, and I think what we offer is a combination of the entertainment capital of the world with the wedding capital of the world. And the Elvis wedding in Vegas is a thing. And we started that. We were the first chapel to ever do that. Now, other chapels try to copy the success, but they never do it as good.
Yeah.
We're Graceland, for Pete's sake. I mean, the Graceland Estate even realized we own Graceland Wedding Chapel. That's grandfathered in it. We didn't pay rights for it because it was been that way for, you know, 40 years itself. We had a guy walk in once. He pointed to the wall. We had pictures of couples in the main office. He walked in. He goes, Elvis, we're here. Oh my God, we're on your wall. And I just glanced. I said, oh, you're here for renewal. He goes, no, that was my first wife. I go, you are coming back to Grayson with a new wife. He goes, I fucking love this place. I said, I can tell. And we appreciate the business, but that is insane, dude. That you know, as a guy, I'm like, are you crazy? She goes, I said, where are we going? He goes, I have this great place in Vegas. So he loved it so much, he brought his new wife, you know, the second wife. And as a joke on the way out, I said, you come back a third time, it's on the house. He's like, I might take you up on that. That's what we're offering here. It's like a little mini show in there. It's like an experience. People come from around the world. They go, they don't speak English, from Brazil, from Argentina. And they go, Elvis means the world to me. And so what they come in here, here I am, and it's like as close as you can get to seeing the real deal. It's not a picture in a book. It's not a video. It's in 3D, and it's there walking you down the aisle, you know,
yeah,
every day. So I never get sick of it. First wedding of the day, last wedding of the day, people are thrilled. And to be part of that, it's like, come on. And get paid, you know? Maybe you should play in a punk band. Come on.
Art student in a punk band getting paid. Yeah. Like a very...
And this is my life. I would never... Someone goes, when did you... No, you ever think this as a kid? I said, no.
Not would you close. Ever trade it? Would you ever...
Not really. Maybe to be in a Kiss tribute band. That's the only thing.
You've been doing Elvis for years now. Do you still love the songs? Do you still love the music? Do you love it more now, less? How do you feel about
it? Yeah, I actually love... Over and over, same songs all day, right? Viva Las Vegas,
yeah,
5,000 times a year, and that's just here. But the people love it so much. I just enjoy, I love to see people love that. So it's not for me anymore. I'll start singing Can't Help Falling In Love With You, and the bride will start to cry. As I say, was the singing that bad? No, but I go, you realize she's so in love with Elvis, or it touched her. And then later she will, when I was a teenager, I dreamt of marrying Elvis. I can't believe you're walking me down the aisle. Marrying someone else, yeah, of course. But it's like this thing to them in their lives. It comes full circle. They're huge Elvis fans. So to be a part of that, it's just like awesome.
Today's episode was written and produced by Matthew Brown. We'd like to thank Brendan and Rod over at Graceland Wedding Chapel for hosting us, and Stephen and Lindsay for allowing us to be part of their vow renewal. Congrats, you lovebirds! If you have a question for Brendan, or if you're just looking to find photos of Elvis and I at the chapel, head over to our Facebook page. Who knows? Your question could be used in an upcoming bonus episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the show. That way, you get every new episode delivered to your podcast feed each week. You never miss a show. As always, I'm Sam Balter, and stay weird, you hunks of burning love.